Grace from the God of grace, peace from the Prince of peace, and the joy of the Holy Spirit be with each of you this morning and with God's children throughout the world. Amen. Seems like it's a special time of year. I mean, we've gone through a lot. I mean, we're in the Lenten season. We're at a time when seems like the peoples, I like the weather that we're currently having. It's nice, we turn to snow, gets nice again, more snow. And that's how we as a people are. Our today's text is found in John 12. And it's a text that's also in the other three Gospels. It's in all four of them. And it shows you what we are. I mean, I'm not going to point at you guys because I know you guys are different. You're stable. You're solid. You never have doubts. You know what you believe. But no, this is what we are. And regardless of that, maybe because of that, God still says, you are mine. You're the apple of my eye. You're my beloved. Not because we're perfect, but because we have come to realize that we're imperfect and we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need a way to get to that heavenly home. From this world that we're traveling through to the eternal home that we want to go to. The text today is found in John 12. 12 through 19, and we'll read these words in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. And for this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said amongst themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Amen. Father, sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is everlasting truth. Amen. Like I said, very similar, we call it a story, but very similar stories are told in the other three Gospels. But it's more than a story, it's a reciting of historical facts, things that happened. Previous to this, Jesus had been sitting down at meat with Mary and Lazarus and Martha and his disciples. That's wherein Mary anoints Jesus. And Judas is there lamenting about, why are we wasting this money? The cost of this ointment that was put onto Jesus. Why, this, it was a year's wages. Do you realize how we could have helped the poor with this? Yet Jesus says, let Mary be. This is done to anoint me for my burial. And this will be remembered throughout history. Other things that happened before this, Jesus, according to the Gospels, heals a blind man. In one of the Gospels, it says two blind men. In the other one, it says Bartimaeus. A wonderful story. A wonderful story of the healing power of Jesus. How he heals the blind. Here he is, sitting at the side of the road. Jesus, calling unto Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, heal me. And he says, what would you have me to do to you? Heal me. But he said, give me my sight. Please give me my sight. And Jesus complies. And Bartimaeus follows after Jesus. Now, one thing that I don't have straight is the time frame for the healing, the raising of Lazarus. Because it says that much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. He was in Bethany and going to Jerusalem for the feast. They came not for Jesus' sake, but that they may see Lazarus also. Lazarus, whom Jesus had risen from the dead. And it tells us also that the chief priests were then talking amongst themselves and to their followers and said, how can we put this Lazarus to death? We must kill him. We must get rid of Jesus somehow. And we must kill Lazarus because of what he has done and the proof of what he has done, this multitude of people are following after Jesus. And if this happens, the Romans are going to be outraged. Then they're going to come down hard on us. But it also, these few verses here also tell us, but because of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, many believed on him. Many believed on him. And he says, now the next day, here we are. Jesus had instructed his disciples to go into the city and go over this one place and you will find a colt. You will find the mother of the colt and the colt tied up. Take them and bring them to me. And the owner says, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing to those? Those are my animals. He says, Jesus told him that I have need of them. And he says, the master has need of them. And so the owner said, okay, well, that's fine. If the master needs them, take them. How strange, if you look at this, is this story, this rendering of what's happened. Oh, the master needs them. And the owner just, oh, that's fine. Then just take them. You know, you can have them. You can use them. That way, don't talk of payment for them or that we'll return them once we're done with them. Just take them. Now, you might say it's odd, but let's look into, I think it's some of this stuff. My memory goes but in Isaiah and in Zechariah, it talks about this, about riding, the humble king riding into Jerusalem on a colt. Not a conquering king, but a King of Peace. And on the next day, much people were come. There was a crowd of people. Everybody's going to Jerusalem to the temple because of the feast. But more so are coming because they heard that Jesus was going to be there, the miracle worker. And so, to some knew that he was the Messiah. They understood that he was a savior. He was going to be the new ruler. They were there because when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and they took branches, palms, laid them on the pathway, palms waving them. They came to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." This is what's written in Psalms 118. Hosanna, save us now. And when, it says in this text, it says that when Jesus found the colt, found the foal of an ass. The two of the Gospels say that they were brought to him by his disciples, like I explained a little earlier. He sat thereon, and it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." Again, one of the other Gospels talks about this, where the Pharisees, when they hear the people proclaiming the kingship, the hosannas, they said, "Tell your people, your disciples and all others, not to do this, not to shout this, not to celebrate like this." And he says, if these people, if they are quiet, the stones themselves will rise up and shout in praise and acclamation of the King entering into Jerusalem. When I first started, I talked about the weather, how it vacillates, and how people are. This part here, this joyous part here, how easy it is for us as a people, and for these people at that time, to join into that. The praise and adulation, the glorying. But we remember what happens. We know what happens. A few short days later, we turn. We turn. And we, with all those people, are shouting, "Crucify him. Crucify him." We are like Peter. "I don't know that bleeping man." Yet, God looks on each of us and says, "You are mine. I have paid the price for you. I have redeemed you. I have taken your sin debt and paid for it completely. You are my bride, pure and holy, washed white, robed in white robes, the wedding garment. how we vacillate. But even here, I mean, Jesus, he told his disciples the same thing. He said, listen, you guys are good. I will be forsaken. I will be cast aside. He said, I will also be crucified. He explained what was going on many times with his disciples. And he even here it talks about the disciples did not understand the things that were happening. Now, we think that a lot of these were unlearned men, but these were men that they still knew the scriptures. They knew what was in the Psalms. They knew what was in Zechariah. They knew what was in Isaiah. Yet they couldn't comprehend. They didn't comprehend. They didn't understand. He says, these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. The fulfillment of the prophecies was done. The prophecies and promises that said that God was going to send a Redeemer, a Savior to this world. That which he spoke to Adam and Eve and said, I will do this. I will save you. Thousands of years later was accomplished. This was reiterated by many of the prophets. And what they prophesied came to be. And it can be found that what they prophesied, Jesus went through. And it says, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. And for this cause the people also met him, for that he had heard that he had done this miracle, as well as other miracles. But what did the Pharisees come and say? Everything we have done has failed to inhibit, to stop Jesus from coming forward, from the people to accepting him, following after him. And then we're going to get into the stories later this week on what they did to stop him. So much. I'm not going to take away from whoever has Good Friday, because I mean it's not a joyous thing to talk about, but it's a necessary thing to talk about what Jesus has gone through, what he went through in fulfillment of the prophecies, so that you and I could be redeemed. Today we celebrate his entry into Jerusalem as a king. Later we celebrate or commemorate and remember other aspects. But as are the years and the seasons, there's a cycle. We are in a cycle here. The celebration phase, which is going to turn to a time of mourning, to a time of celebration again. But you, my friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, have the promise, the assurance that you have a home in heaven. He has gone on before us, and he waits for us. But more than waiting for us, he carries us there through every aspect of your life, especially through the aspects of sorrows and troubles that we go through. believe for this one day. Believe that your sins are forgiven. They're washed away in the shed atoning blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe with assurance that the work he has done is more than sufficient, not only to take you, but to take me also to the eternal home. Believe unto joy, joy eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.